Well, it sure is good to see y'all.
I sort of see you. Just follow the teeth. Follow the teeth.
All right, just follow the teeth. Everything will be all right. Okay, so we're going to do a meditation. So I just want you to, we're going to take a little spiritual shower. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I guarantee I want to give you a safe and strange evening. So let go of any ideas about how I'm supposed to act, what it means to be spiritual and aware. And just let yourself relax. Remember, you don't have to believe the ideas. You don't have to accept the ideas. You don't have to welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. Some of the ideas you're going to find hard to believe. And some of the ideas you're going to find quite startling. But you're not asked to judge the ideas and analyze the ideas at all. It's the use of the ideas that will give the ideas meaning to you and will show you that they're true. If you use it, you will see that it works. So just relax. Let your mind go anywhere you want it to go. And I'm going to remind you of who you are. Underneath everything that you think you are, there is a spectacular being. Underneath every fear that you have, every anxiety, there is a spectacular being. So I'll try to make it a little bit more dramatic. Just a moment, please. If you survive this song, you're ready. This is the cult test. Oh, I know this is a cult. Listen to that music. That's cult music if I ever heard it. This is it. You are spectacular, fantastic, stupendous, free, unlimited. Love. You're lovable. So there's a prayer from the Course in Miracles that I want to say to you. You are a priceless part of God's kingdom. You are true, complete, unconditional love in your truest nature. You are still as God created you. 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 You are still as God. Now that's what I am. I am still as God created me. 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 I am still free. I am still free. You are still free. No matter what you're telling yourself, no matter what problems and situations are up in your life right now, you are still free. Even with that sickness, you are still free. Even with that fear, you are still free. Even with that bill collector, you are still free. Even with that mama, you are still free. Even with that boss, you are still free. No matter what happened in your past, you are still free. So I want to ask anybody that feels like it, and it's okay if you don't, but you say this with me, I am still free. I am still free. Let yourself feel it. I am still free. I am still free. am still free. I am still free. I love it. I am still free. 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 And don't forget about safe. I am still safe. You know, you might have that worry. I am still safe. Feel the peace of this moment. And let's extend that peace to all our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world right now that are really afraid. And let's dedicate this music, this time, our time together to our brothers and sisters who are going through challenges on the other side of the world right now. Because they are part of us and we are part of them. And they need somebody to remember their strength, because everybody's focusing on their weakness right now.
So many times people turn their backs to you, cause they wanna see what's inside of you. What's inside of you? They might realize what's inside of them. You might not wanna find what it ain't about who you love. It's all about do you love, do you love, do you love. See, it ain't about who you love.
It's not about who you love. It's about do you love. Do you love?
Well,
so grateful right now.
It's trying to bother you. So why you gotta bother me? What goes on in your bedroom ain't no mess to me. You say your God don't like my God, cause you don't like my friends. But your friends trying to kill the man, and I don't understand. Cause it ain't about who you love.
Do you love? Yeah. So this is an hour of love. Nobody feeling no ugliness tonight. You are so loved and lovable and loved and lovable. You don't know how much you are loved. The universe loves you. The universe loves you. You gotta remember. Okay, I get somebody to turn the lights up behind you, please.
Thank you, Lord. Ooh.
That was Michael Fronten, Spearhead. They're going to be at Fillmore Saturday night. And they're one of my favorite groups. I've seen them 3 times on some of Mishawaka in August. That was incredible with that rhythm in the background. Mm-hmm. So if you want to hear some incredible, group, go to Fillmore Saturday night and hear Spearhead. My mama used to call me hardhead, so I guess I'm getting pretty close. Look for your message tonight. Whatever your message is. We've been talking about the correction of error, and Everybody's been studying the course knows that one of the things that really turn you on about the course is that it tends to say things different from the way we're used to hearing it. So it's got a different definition.
What page are we on?
We're going to be on page 167 in the text. And we're going to start with paragraph 5 on page 167. It's chapter 9, the section Correction of Error, chapter 9. Says, I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit to make a little bit more conversation. It says, when a person behaves insanely, you can heal them only by perceiving the sanity in them. Said again, when a person's acting crazy, you can heal them only by perceiving the sanity in them. When you're acting crazy, I can only heal you by seeing the sanity in you. I have a habit of just seeing the crazy in you, but I can only heal you if I see the sanity in you. Okay, what's going on? I might wish my music would be sane. It is. It's going to be sane right now. Okay. So what usually happens when somebody acts crazy is that we usually get mad, right? Usually when somebody's acting really crazy, then we tend to get upset rather than say, I'm going to see the sanity in you. I want to see the love in you. So how many of you all have been seeing people act crazy most of your life? And how many of you have not been looking for the sanity in them when you're upset with them? So it might be a correspondence in the fact that I don't look for the sanity in the person that I'm upset with when I'm upset. So the Course says, if you perceive the person's errors and you accept their errors, you accept in yours. If you want to give your errors over to the Holy Spirit, you've got to do that with them. So if I want to give your mistakes, if I want to give my mistakes to the higher power, I have to give your mistakes to the higher power. If I want to give my mistakes to the higher power, I have to give your mistakes to the higher power. If I want to give my mistakes to the higher power, I've got to give your mistakes to the higher power. If I want to give my mistakes to the higher power, I have to give your mistakes to the higher power. What I usually do is I want to give my mistakes to God, but I want to correct everybody else's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the same way I handle my errors, the Course is saying is the same way I have to handle your errors. So I can't give mine to the higher power and then feel like it's up to me to fix you. Okay, but you don't have to agree with that, but everybody hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then it says, unless this becomes the one way in which you handle all errors, you can't understand how all errors are undone. How is this different from teaching you that what you teach, you learn? What you teach, you learn. So your brother is as right as you are, and if you think the other person is wrong, you're condemning yourself. If you think the other person is wrong, you're condemning yourself. They're just as right as you are, and you will learn whatever you're demonstrating and teaching. And unless you give his errors over to the higher power, you don't learn how all errors are given up. Because all errors are given up by being given to your higher self. Your higher self is the one, God, whatever word you'd like to use. Okay, so you are as right as I am. So if I think you're wrong, then I am actually condemning myself because you are myself. We are one, so if I'm condemning you, I'm condemning me. We are one, so if I'm condemning you, I'm condemning me. So you're no more right than I am. If you're wrong, I'm wrong. If you're right, I'm right. No wonder I like being separate. No, it wasn't. I'm beginning to see the payoff. If you have a stomach ache, I don't have to feel it. And if I don't like you, I can get in my car and drive away. I can think I'm doing something to you, and then it's not happening to me. Seems like, you know, I can be special and look like somebody else. Now, I can see the payoff of wanting to be separate. I can see how we kind of
enjoy that one a little bit, because I don't want to see your error as my error, and what I look at in you is in me. That's what this section was saying a couple of weeks ago. As soon as you see a mistake in somebody else, you look into the part of your mind that's the same way, because that's how you can see it. That's how you recognize it, because it's in your mind. You couldn't recognize it if it wasn't in your mind. Right? So whatever I see in you, I must have a corresponding thought just like that in my mind, or I couldn't recognize it. So whatever I don't like about you, that is just you getting me in touch with the part of my mind that's just like that, so that I can deal with my own issues and leave you alone. So the minute I look at you and say, you're selfish, then I know I have selfish thoughts and I need to stop, go ahead and work on my own selfish thoughts and learn how to get my selfish thoughts to God. I wouldn't say nothing to you at all. Because all you did was got me in touch with something that's crazy about me if I saw it was crazy in you. So the people in our lives are just getting us in touch with the ideas that we need to transform within ourselves. The people in our lives are just getting us in touch with the ideas we need to transform in ourselves. And the way we know those ideas are in us is because we see it in the other person. And as soon as you see it in the other person, you know you got to be seeing it through the part of your mind is just like that. Or you couldn't see it. Whew. Boy, I'd be so busy dealing with myself, I wouldn't be messing with nobody. I'd be the most peaceful person in town. I'd be so busy dealing with my own stuff, I wouldn't have time to deal with yours. You know what I'm saying? No. Okay. That's deep. Then it says, you can't correct yourself. Have you noticed? Right? It says, you can't correct yourself. Is it possible for you to correct somebody else? You haven't been doing such a great job of fixing yourself. You think it's possible to fix somebody else? Don't you see the humor of that? It said, you can't correct yourself. You still got the same pattern you had since you was in kindergarten. Now, what you going to do about somebody else? He says, yet you can see the other person truly, because it's possible for you to see yourself truly. So it's not up to you to change the person. It's just up to you to accept the person as they really are. Now, what does that mean? I'm not going to try to change you. I really want to accept that you really are love, that you really are powerful, that you really are spirit. I want to accept what you really are. That's what I need to do. The Course says, I need to accept who you really are instead of changing you. So instead of trying to change you, if I could tap into what you really are, then what you really are would also, guess what? If I'm able to tap into what you really are, I must be seeing it through the part of me that's real. So the minute I see the part of you that's real, then I get in touch with the part of me that's real, and the part of us that's real is love. And so as soon as I get in touch with the love that we both are, you and I are going to have peace. Because love is stronger than your fear. But we don't think it is because we haven't really walked up on somebody that was really loving us yet. The reason why we don't know the power of love is because we haven't experienced it at a conscious level yet. We've experienced a lot of specialness, but we haven't experienced a lot of love. But when you're in the presence of somebody you love, it's impossible to resist them. You can't resist love. Love is so cool, you just dive into it. You run for it. You'd be so glad to go toward love. It'd be the last thing on your mind would be to go in the opposite direction from somebody you love. When you see somebody and you have that feeling and you go, you know, when you see them, you go, you see them, you walk in and there they are, and you know, the part of you really want them, but you're trying to be cool. Well, the thing you have to get in touch with is that's the same feeling you get when a dog chasing you down the street. It's fear. The Course says, you just had a heart attack. It was just a mind a heart attack. When you feel love, you don't resist love, but when you feel love, it's also something that you want to extend to everybody around you. Okay, so if I could accept that you all were love, and I could tap into the part of you that's love, and you could tap into the part of me that's love, then whatever the crazy thing that seemed to be happening would stop instantly. So the error that the Course keeps telling us that we're making is that we keep trying to fix the outer instead of letting the love come through us that's so powerful that it would transform the situation and bring peace in the situation immediately without you having to try to say anything to anybody or change anything. That's deep. You could be so loving that people just could not act crazy in your presence. That's deep. See, what I like about this book is that it allows me to entertain thoughts that I wouldn't ordinarily entertain, because that's how I get it created, is I have to conceive it. So we came here every week and we just heard thoughts that we thought were outrageous. We would really be raising the level of our consciousness, because we have to get out of the box. We want to get out of the situation we're in. We got to get out of the thoughts that we use all the time. But then as soon as we hear some unusual thoughts, then our first instinct is to go, I don't believe that. That sounds crazy. Right? So really, if we really want to grow, we have to open ourselves up to what sounds like some crazy thoughts, which is, if we were to all in this room right now tune in on the love that we all have beneath our individual identities, then we wouldn't see anything about anybody in here to be afraid of.
We wouldn't be strangers to each other. We wouldn't be anything but just feeling like we're at home. We wouldn't be strangers to each other. So when you're acting crazy and I'm acting crazy, what I need you to do is remember that I'm not the craziness that you're seeing. I need you to get in touch with I'm love, that I'm just like you. So I must be scared. That must be at the root of what you're seeing as being crazy. Something has scared me, and I'm really, really scared. And I need you to remember that love is real for me. I need you to present a safe place for me to be. I need you to remind me that whatever it is that scared me half to death and got me acting crazy isn't the truth about me. I don't need you to join in my insanity with me. I need you to remember who I am beyond my insanity. If you add your insanity to my insanity, we're just going to create more insanity, because the Course says anytime two share one idea equally, it becomes like the will of God and it manifests. That's deep, y'all.
Yeah.
You know, so the Course says, now check this out. It says that person's mistakes does not come from the truth that's in them. Only this truth is yours. The person's error can't change the truth, and the person's errors can have no effect at all on the truth in you. In other words, I don't care how another person is acting, it doesn't have to have an effect on the truth in me. I don't care what's going on around me. I don't have to let it affect the truth in me. I can still be peaceful. I can still be loving, no matter what everybody else in the room is doing. He says that to perceive errors in anyone and to react to the errors in anyone as if they were real is to make the errors real to you. So what's making all the mistakes and the fears in the world real to you is that you're perceiving it in somebody else and you're reacting to it as if it's real. And as soon as you react to it as if it's real, you make it real to you. So when I react to your fear as if your fear is real, then I make your fear real to me. If I react to your insanity as if it's real, then I make your insanity real to me. Now, why does all the insanity in the world seem real? Because I'm reacting to it as if it's real. And since I'm reacting to it as if it's real, it has become real. All right, so we're reacting to our lack as if it's real. We're reacting to our jealousy as if it's real. We're reacting to our depression as if it's real. We're reacting to our differences as if our differences are real. And guess what? Now, we've all made it real, and so we all think we're really dealing with all these different problems that are really real because we're reacting to it as if it's real. I really am screwed up, so I'm reacting to it as if it's real, and it is real. So the reason why we're going through everything we're going through is that we're all reacting to it as if it's real. And so what did the mind say? But it is real. See, you're reacting to it as if it's real. And so it is.
Wow.
Okay. I'm reacting to you as if what you've done to upset me is real, and so now it is real because I'm reacting to it as real, so I've made it real because I'm reacting to it as real. I've made it real. Yes, but, 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 yes, but. I see what you're saying, but. I see what you're saying, but. Okay. Anybody need me to say that? Everybody needs that. I know somebody knows back. What time did y'all need? Y'all had a yes but and you didn't. You? Okay. How many of y'all had nice round yes buts? You? I'm extremely holy. If I worked on my mind as much as I worked on my butt, I'd be like an avatar today, wouldn't you? Well, tell the truth, we all be like levitating in the room, you know what I'm saying? You know, think about God every now and then, but my butt, I'm worried about that most of the day. Is it the right size? Is it firm enough? Is it sagging? You know, my butt. I am my butt. That should be our affirmation sometime. I am my butt. Or like, you know, you say that next and they go, I'm not a body, I'm free. You can go, I'm not a butt. I am free. I'm not my butt. I am free. I'm not my butt. But having grown up in a black body, this time around I decided to have a black body and come into a black body. And I'd like to say on behalf of most black men in black bodies, we like butts. So all women who feel guilty about their butts, just come around us. They'll never be too big. Okay. See, we just don't know where to go for the right perception of ourselves. You know what I'm saying? See, I know I'm being too real. I'm getting trouble on the body. Okay. All right, that's all right. All right.
I think you're safe.
I'm safe here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You love my
Oh, thank you. I was worried about that.
I'm worried about it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. If there's anybody in here that do not feel good about their butt, just say so, and we'll be glad to say you have a nice butt. Is there anybody in here that needs Shannon? You like your butt? Okay. Anybody in here that doesn't particularly care for their butt? Okay. Oh, okay, right now you got an anti-butt phase, okay. Let's tell Charity that she has a very innocent, very wonderful butt. Charity, you have a very innocent, very wonderful butt. Now, you never thought in your wildest, okay, one more time. Charity, you have a very innocent and very wonderful butt. How about that? You get better? Yes. Never have any more butt guilt for the rest of your natural life, okay? Yeah, you love. See that transformation? She said she loved her butt. Only was 30 seconds later, she loved her butt. Have you noticed that there are some parts of our body that we don't feel comfortable talking about? If I had been talking about a finger, it might have been all right. If you said butt, then it was a big deal. So we'll work up to the genitals over a few weeks, okay? We got so many guilty genitals, it's pitiful. Talk about the genitals. They do not exist. It's almost like we're these dolls or something. That are, you know, it's sad. It's really sad. Yeah, I know some people right now are very uncomfortable, you know, and that's getting you in touch with your genital guilt. And you need to get in touch with that. It's important that you get in touch with that. You know. You ever see how you're looking at me? She's looking bring my mama, but I'm not bringing my mama now. You know, that's all right. I trust God. Okay, I never let my subject matter, you know, Lee, get in the way of what I have to say. Okay, now. Now, if you make somebody else's errors real to you, you will not escape paying the price for making them real to you. Not because you're being punished for making the other person's errors real to you, but because you are following the wrong guide, whenever you are reacting and making the fear out here real, you're following the wrong guide. And whenever you're following the wrong guide, you're going to lose your way. So whenever you're following the part of your mind that tells you to get upset about everything all day long, you're following the wrong guide because that part of your mind is making everything that upsets you real because you're reacting to it as if it's real and not really going for seeing the sanity and realizing that the insanity is a reflection of the fear in that person's mind. That person's mind is somehow or another, no matter what they're doing, whether it's jealousy, depression, or anger, or sickness, that's a form of fear according to the core. So what you're looking at is a form of fear, and you have to remember that there is a real being, a sane being, a spiritual being, a loving being. There is a truth being behind the fear and insanity that you're looking at. And if I listen to the part of me that tells me that there is a truth in this person and a love in this person beyond what I'm seeing, then I won't make that error real, and I'll be following the right guide. So, your brother's mistakes or sister's mistakes are not of them any more than yours are of you. If you accept the other person's errors as real, you have attacked yourself. When you accept their mistakes as real, you have attacked yourself. So if you want to find your way and keep your way, you have to see only truth beside you, for you walk together. So if I want to find my way and if I want to keep my way, I have to start seeing the truth beside me. Okay, so if I want to follow my way and keep my way and I'm sitting in this room, I have to see only truth beside me. So what's the truth that's beside me? The truth that's beside me is that each and every one of you jokers are part of me. We are one. We're just alike. We're all spiritual beings and our spiritual path, trying to remember who we are and trying to recognize who love is and what love is. We are all beings. We are all these live beings that love and fear and make and create, and we have our dreams and our aspirations and our pains and our joys. We all want to be happy. None of us want to be attacked, so I got to keep the truth beside me. And if I keep the truth beside me as we walk together, then I'll find my way, because there's no way I'm going to get lost if these many people remember where I am. Mm-hmm. Right. The only people that get lost are nobody around them who remember where they are.
Yeah.
So the more people you connect with, the harder it is for you to get lost. But if you're not connected to anybody, you could disappear and when nobody even know it. You hear about the people that have been dead for 6 months and nobody ever came to the door to find out what was they, that they was even missing. How who would it feel like, man, if something happened to you and you ended up in the hospital and there was 892 friends that showed up? Wow. Where you had, you were going through something and you just, you know, you were connected and you had so much love surrounding you. It's amazing. You probably wouldn't be in the hospital. With that much love, it'd be protecting you.
Yeah.
It's funny how you X people out if you can't see how they'll help you get whatever it is you value. You ever notice that? It's like the only people you see are the ones you think are somehow or another going to be able to give you something that you think you want or need. And those are the people that get noticed, the ones who I think can fulfill a need that I think I have. And then I kind of exclude everybody else from my perception if they can't somehow help me with my goal or my purpose. So what's inclusive is who can help me meet my goals, and who's excluded is the ones that won't help me get what I want. Interesting. Wow. But suppose everybody could help you get what you want. In other words, if I really want the truth and I really want love and I really want a reflection of who I really am and what I really think, all of you all can give me that because you're giving me that all the time. I can use everybody in this room to remember who I am. I can use everybody in this room as an opportunity for me to be more loving. If I want to be a more loving person, I could be more loving than everybody in this room. That would give me the opportunity to do the big deal thing that I say I want to do, which is to be a more loving person. I'm always saying I want to be a more loving person, a more giving person. Then I'm sitting around all these people who give me the opportunity to practice that in every situation that I go in all day long, and so really everybody that I meet can help me fulfill my purpose if my purpose is love. Now, if my purpose isn't love, then only special people can meet that purpose, because I got to exclude everybody else in order to get my special purpose. So if I want anything from you other than truth, then I'm going to exclude somebody. If I only want the truth, everybody will do. So the only person who wouldn't be acceptable would simply be a person who could not fulfill a special need that I think I have. If I really want an opportunity to practice the truth and to practice love, every single person in this room gives me the opportunity to do that. So you only single somebody out for something that's not real in the first place. You fool yourself into thinking it's real good in the beginning so that you see how it's going to turn out when you really learn how to love. See, that's why it starts out so good in the beginning, because it's like giving us a sneak preview of what it's going to really be like when we stop faking it. Wow. You ever notice that in relationships? How generally they start out really cool. Let's face it, a lot of the people that we got restraining orders on, we really turn on. We were really turned on by them one time. You know, now you hiding the King Super, but you used to say, come on, baby, come on. The same person. It's amazing. It's almost like before you be physically intimate with somebody, you should ask yourself, am I willing to not have this person in my life? Because if I'm willing to not have them in my life, let's go ahead and get intimate and get physical. Well, let's face it, most of the time, the people that we've been the most intimate with and the most physical with, when that ends, those are the people we never see anymore and never hang out with and never be around. It's just funny. But the ones we never were physically intimate with, be lifelong friends. So when you get ready to get intimate, you better ask yourself, am I willing to risk never having this person around me again? Because my track record is everybody I've ever been intimate with, really intimate with, and it didn't work out, those jokers are not around. And it's not really comfortable to hang out. You know, it's a few rare exceptions, but for the most part, people try to avoid their ex-friends and ex-lovers and ex-anything. So just keep in mind that that the people that are around the loneliest are the people who have the least intimate experience with us.
That was hard to say, wasn't it?
Oh, man. I'm the main one learning this stuff. It's like that's why I'm teaching it, so I can learn it. This book is about forgiveness, so you know I must be really good at holding grievances. Don't cross me, none of y'all. Well, I'm studying. I was sentenced to 25 years at the court. And that's how long I've been doing it. 25 years this year. This is my 25th anniversary of trying to be sane. And I'm still crazy as a monster. But I'm enjoying it more.
believe that the longer you're on the path, the more you enjoy your own insanity. But you used to beat yourself up about it, you'll start laughing at yourself. Okay. And every time you laugh at yourself, you heal. It's easy to laugh at somebody else's stuff. It takes a real avatar to laugh at their own. That's why everybody else can laugh at your stuff so good. As a matter of fact, you want to have people in your life who have the capacity to not see your stuff as real as you do and who won't join you in making it hard and real. You actually need some people that are laugh. I used to always ask my friends, but I would tell my friends, before I tell you this thing that's really upsetting me, that's hurting me, that's making me feel so bad, it's ridiculous, I want you to promise me you'll laugh at it. If you're not going to laugh at it, I can't share it with you. Because that means you're reacting to it as if it's real, and that will make it real, and it'll create more of it for me. And guess what? It's going to create more for you, too, because you joined me in it. So now both of us are going to have some misery coming toward us. So can you laugh? And now I found that it's easier for them to laugh at my stuff than their stuff. Have you noticed that? So my job is to laugh at their stuff. Their job is to laugh at my stuff. And so we don't help each other make our stuff real. So we don't mind sharing with each other. Because they're not going to come back every time they see me and ask me if I'm still going through the thing I went through before, even though I've been over 10 years. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about, right? Everybody tell somebody something, every time you see them, they remind you of it. Are you still having that problem you had in the sixth grade? So let it go, let it go, let it go. Okay, so beware of who you open up to. You want somebody who will never forget you're more powerful than what you're going through. And you want to open up to people who see you beyond your problem. Is that cool?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can tell whether or not you want to go beyond your problem by who you communicate it to. If you communicate it to somebody that doesn't know the truth, it's not going to remind you that you're not a victim of it and that you do have power, then you know that's the part of you that wants to be the victim. So the part of you that wants to be the victim is going to seek out the person who's going to join in the suffering with you. That's how you know you want to be the victim in the situation. When you don't want to be the victim in the situation, you want somebody you can own what you're feeling with, and they'll constantly know that you are beyond it and remind you that you're stronger than that. And that's why we come together. Okay? So I want to tell everybody in here, no matter what you're going through right now, you're stronger than it. No matter what's bothering you in your life right now, you are stronger than that thing. And not only are you stronger than it, you are not alone in it. You are not alone in what you're going through right now. You are not alone. You don't have to believe the ideas. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
How many of y'all promise me you won't believe most of the things you hear me say? Have I got agreement?
Yep.
Okay, cool. All right, now, I'm going to read a little bit more of this. The Holy Spirit in you forgives all the things in you. And of course, the Holy Spirit says the Holy Spirit is nothing but the same mind in you. So watch what happens when I say same mind. The same mind in you forgives all things in you. The same mind forgives all things in you. The same mind forgives all things in you and in your brother. The other person's errors are forgiven with yours. The other person's errors are forgiven with yours. See, atonement, which is the undoing of error, is no more separate than love. So love is something that undoes errors. Love undoes errors. Love actually will undo your fear. So if you were someone who's expressing love to you, it will undo your fear. If you can't get rid of your fear, there is no love in the experience. If you're in a relationship and you can't get rid of the fear, there is no love in the experience. Because if love came through either one of you, it would undo your fear. And it would undo your fear without having to analyze it, process it, and analyze it, and process it, and explain it. You wouldn't have to do any of that if love came into the experience, because love automatically undoes error. Whew. So atonement cannot be separate, because atonement, which is the undoing of error, comes from love. The undoing of your fear comes from love. So any attempt you make to correct another person means you believe correction by you is possible. Every time you attempt
to correct another person, the court says, you believe correction by you is possible. You actually think it's possible for you to correct something. You actually think it's possible for you to correct something. You actually think it's possible for you to correct something. You actually think it's possible for you to correct something. Love is the only thing that corrects something. Love is the only thing that corrects something. Ooh, I love that. Yes, you are.
Thank you.
You are love. And the love in you has to come out so it can correct. But it's on the other side of your insanity. It's on the other side of your fear. And so what we want to do is see you beyond your fear. We want to see you beyond your upset. We're going to remember who you are for you. And if we remember who you are for you, then it will dispel the mistakes and the errors and the fear. Now, how do we know this doesn't work if we haven't tried it? How do we know this does not work? That's a good question. How do we know this doesn't work? How do we know? So it says, for you to believe that correction by you is possible, this can only be the arrogance of the ego, because correction is of God, and God is just a part of you that doesn't know of arrogance. So you want to pray to the part of you that doesn't know arrogance. I pray to the part of me that doesn't know arrogance. We are praying to the part of us that doesn't know arrogance. So I'm not going to be so arrogant as to think that I can correct anybody in this room. I'm not going to be so arrogant as to think that I can correct anybody in this room. God is the only thing that can correct any of us. The higher power is the only thing that can correct any of us. So I'm not going to be arrogant by thinking I can correct anybody in this room. So I am resigning from correcting anybody around me. So I try to correct people as absolutely less as I possibly can. So if I'm quiet around you, it doesn't mean I necessarily agree with what you're saying. If I'm quiet around you, it doesn't mean I necessarily agree with what you say, but I know if I oppose something you believe, we're going to focus on it for a long time. And since it's not something that I really want to focus on, I'll just let you say it. Does that make sense? That makes a lot of sense. If you want to have a peaceful conversation, then let people say the stuff that you don't necessarily agree with, and you will keep on moving forward in the conversation and end up focusing on the things that you do agree with and the things that you can talk about. Because the truth is, you don't have to change your mind about the way that you feel about something just because you didn't tell anybody out loud that you disagree with them. So it would only be arrogant for me to like to have to let you know that I don't agree with you. Because the truth is, if I don't agree with you, I just simply don't have to do what I'm hearing you say. And I don't have to tell you I'm not going to do what I'm hearing you say. I just not do what I'm hearing you say. You walk around saying, God, oh, that Earl is a real cool conversation. It's because the quieter you are, the better people think you are a great conversationalist. Especially if it looks like you're listening to what they're saying. And you should be listening to what they're saying, because they're telling you everything you need to know about them. And if you listen for 5 minutes, you would know exactly where everybody is around you. But what I used to do was prepare my next statement while they were talking and not really be listening to what they're saying. So I would miss everything that the person was letting me know to let me know whether I need to go closer or move back. So if you're in the presence of someone, be interested instead of trying to be interesting. See the difference? I'm interested when I'm with you. I'm not trying to be interesting. I'm interested. What do you think? What do you feel? What do you want? What is your purpose? What do you like? How do you feel about that? What is it you really want? Tell me about yourself. What do you want? What's your goal for this year? How do you feel about your last partner? What was it like in your relationship? What do you want in a relationship right now? You know, what can I join you on? What can I help you achieve? What is it that you really want? How can we really establish trust with each other? I mean, who are you? Be amazed. You'll be amazed. You'll know everything you need to know on the very first date, the very first time you're with them. Isn't that great? I mean, that's so easy.
That's a hard question to ask.
Right. And it's only a hard question to ask
because we haven't been taught and programmed and oriented toward doing that. But you know what I found out? If you try, you'll end up having the most authentic encounter with someone that you've ever had in your life, even if you just met them. All of a sudden, you'll find yourself not having that those superficial kind of conversation, but you all will really be talking about something real, and you find out that you're both real people, and all of a sudden, you're communicating with the real person and not their representative. Because on most dates, all you're meeting is the representative. You got it?
Yeah.
So those kind of questions are scary to ask, but those kind of questions will give you kind of evening with somebody you'll never forget for the rest of your life. It'll be awesome. It'll be awesome. Okay. So I'm going to do the last paragraph, and let me do this in the form of like a meditation where you just kind of just hear the words and go in with me right now. So just close your eyes a minute and focus in on my words. Yeah, okay. There's a part of you that is so full of truth. There is a part of you that is so sane. There's a part of you that is so full of truth that it forgives everything because it knows that the Creator forgives everything. So there's a part of you that does forgive everything, but you may not be in touch with it. But there is a part of you that is forgiving everything. There is a part of you that is forgiving everyone. There is a part of you that has forgiven everything. There is a part of you that has forgiven everyone. Whew. So don't undertake its function, or you will forget your function. What is your function? Your function is to accept. Your function is to accept your healing in time. You are here to accept your healing in a body. You are here to accept your happiness in a body. You are here to accept your love in a body. You are here to accept the undoing of fear in time. That is your function, because that is what time is for. So the purpose of time is to give you time to accept your happiness. The purpose of time is to give you more time to heal. God gave you the function of creating in eternity. You do not have to learn how to create in eternity. Thank God, I'm just making it to the cleaners. You don't have to learn to create in eternity, but you do need to learn to want to create in eternity. And the Course in Miracles defines create as to extend love or to extend freedom. So the Course is saying that what we want to do is we should be learning how to want to extend love. We are here to learn how to want to extend love, because all learning was made so that you would learn to want to be happy. All learning was made so that you can learn to want to have your healing. You are here to heal. You are here to have all your fear and separation and unhappiness undone in time. It is not your function to forgive in the way you think of it, because there's a part of you that is sane, there's a part of you that is spiritual, there's a part of you that is God, there's a part of you that is a higher being, and that part of you is forgiving everybody you know, and has forgiven everybody you know, and it loves everybody you have grievances against. So there's a part of you that's doing everything you're reading in this book, even while you're reading it in the book, wondering how you will ever be able to do it.
Yeah.
So, the part of us that doesn't know how to forgive, which has a social security number,
That's how you know it. The part of us that doesn't know how to forgive, its function, our function, rather than focusing on forgiveness in a sense, our function is to learn how to want the best for ourselves. We're here to learn how to want a real healing for ourselves. We're here to learn how to be more gentle and more loving to ourselves. We're the part that needs to learn to want to really be happy and to really have love. There's another part of us that's in touch with our God self, that is our God self, that has forgiven everybody for everything they've ever done to you, that is forgiving, that is loving, that is free. In other words, there's a part of you that's totally healed and totally sane and extending love and extending truth and extending power, even while you think you're weak, helpless, afraid, and alone. There is another part of you that is kicking butt, that is really creating incredible things for you, and it's that part of you that's creating the good things that happen to you that you don't know how they happen, and you sometimes don't even believe you deserve it. The stuff that's happening to you that's cool, that you think you don't deserve, is being created by the part of you that is truly healed and truly loving that you don't recognize because you're busy looking at what you think of as your flaws and faults. So the part of us that judges ourselves and the part of us that criticizes ourselves, our function is to want to be healed in time. So if you walk out of here tonight and you sincerely want to be healed, and you sincerely want your fear to be undone, and you sincerely want the sense of loneliness and separation to be undone, you are now fulfilling your function in time. He says that is the Holy Spirit's use of an ability that you do not need, but that you made. You made up the ability to learn, but you really don't need to learn. You just need to love. So give your ability to learn to God. Give your ability to learn to your higher self. Give your ability to learn to your sane mind. We give our ability to learn to our sane mind. We give our ability to learn to God. We give our ability to learn to our sane mind. Your sane mind, the Holy Spirit, your higher self, will teach you how to see yourself without condemnation. Teach me how to stop condemning myself. Teach me how to stop condemning myself. Teach me how to stop condemning myself. Teach me how to stop hurting myself. God, teach me how to stop hurting myself. Higher power, teach us how to stop hurting ourselves. Universe, teach us how to stop hurting ourselves. Teach us how to stop condemning ourselves. Teach us how to stop hurting ourselves. Teach us how to stop frightening ourselves. Teach us how to stop hating ourselves. Teach us how to stop criticizing ourselves. Teach us how to stop judging ourselves. Teach us how to stop condemning ourselves. We ask our sane mind, our higher self, to teach us how to stop hurting ourselves. And you do that by learning how to look on everything around you without condemnation. I want to learn how to look at everything around me without condemning it. We want to learn how to look at everything around us without condemnation. We ask the higher power. We ask the higher power. We ask our higher selves. We ask the spiritual essence that we are. We ask God. We ask Christ. We ask Jesus. We ask Buddha. We ask Mickey Mouse. We ask everything. Because God is everything. So we ask everything to teach us how to not look at everybody else with condemnation, so we'll stop looking at ourselves with condemnation and hurting ourselves. If anybody agrees with that, would they say, ho!
Ho!
Condemnation will then not be real to you, and guess what? All of your errors will be forgiven. When your errors are forgiven will be when you learn how not to see someone else's errors as real. Because then you will see that if you can overlook someone else's errors, your mind will automatically begin to get, wait a minute, if I can overlook their errors, if their mistakes can be overlooked, if they can be forgiven for their mistakes, guess what? I can be forgiven for mine. Mine have also been overlooked. So guess what? Your errors are being overlooked by the thing that loves you more than you do. Your mistakes are being overlooked by the part of you that loves you more than you do. And there is a part of you that loves you more than you do. There's a part of you that loves you more than you do. There's something that loves you more than you do. There's something that loves you more than you do. And the part of you that loves you more than you do is overlooking every mistake you ever made. End of section. Is to learn how to want me to be healed and to want me to be happy and to be willing to learn that. Because I don't know how to forgive everybody. So instead of wasting my time trying to figure out how I'm going to forgive everybody, what I really want to do now is focus all my attention on having my fear undone. That's what it's telling us. Focus on having your fear undone. Focus on having your lack undone. Focus on having your sadness undone. Focus on having your anger undone. Can you imagine a day that the purpose of that day, all day, is to show you what it's like to have less and less and less fear and conflict? Wow! That would be incredible. Mm-hmm. And that's what this book is saying to us. Would you be willing to have your days witness back to you less and less fear and less conflict? Would you?
Yeah.
Would you? Even if you think you deserve it, even if you think you deserve condemnation and punishment, would you be willing to have love answer you no matter how you're acting?
Yes.
Would you?
Yes.
A really enthusiastic bunch about that. Isn't that funny though? How scary it is for us to acknowledge that we would like to be loved no matter what. That's deep. But it's happening to you. And I'm trying to prepare you. It's going to happen this year. You're going to receive more love than you've ever received in your life. And when that love comes in, it pushes up the craziness in you and the fear in you. It's like a tube of toothpaste that's being pushed from the bottom up. And everything that's in you that needs to go is going to come up to go out because you're getting so much love. So don't be tripping out on you tripping because you're going to be tripping.
Yep.
You with me? You hear me?
Yeah.
You got to be gentle with yourself when your insanity comes up because you're pushing it out of yourself. So it can be gone once and for all. So don't confuse yourself with the stuff that you're going to be pushing up because so much love is coming at you, so much truth is coming at you. You hear me?
Thank you.
Be gentle with yourself. All right. Okay. Now, I'm going to do the love offering. Thank you for sharing with me. I do the Course in Miracles full time. That's what I do in the world. So I really want you to know how much I appreciate your generosity with me and with Unity Temple. I'm excited about this year. It's going to be so good. Mm-hmm. It's going to be so powerful. Don't some of y'all feel that?
Yeah.
This one is going to be different, you all. I'm telling you. And then we have each other. Mm-hmm. And we have each other. We got people we can be as weird as we are with. That's just as weird as us.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful for your insanity and mine, too. Let's bless this. This is what I like to say to bless it. We deserve to be paid for having fun. 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 We thank the universe for giving to us in spite of what we believe about ourselves. We thank the universe for providing for us in spite of any thoughts to the contrary. We are willing to be overruled. I'm willing to have every lack thought in my mind overruled. All right. I'm going to do a quick ending in just a second. I want to speak for a couple of minutes for us to connect. Let's just take a second and just have the illusion of separation. And let me see if I can see you. Okay. Okay. And the thought that I'd like to ask you to take and have in your mind as you do this, and this kind of stuff scares people away, but that's okay. Let peace extend from my mind to yours. It's a thought I'd like to ask you to have in your mind right now as we kind of glance around. These are ancient friends. So I'm going to do a couple of minutes. And you don't have to keep looking in the eyes unless you found somebody you see. If you just kind of want to keep it going. Okay, you ready? I'm gonna say the cool thing a couple of minutes. Your sane mind has already forgiven everybody you're trying to forgive. There's a part of you that has already forgiven everybody you need to forgive. There's a part of you that has forgiven, so don't worry about that. When you see somebody and you see some quality in that person, that's your way of getting in touch with the quality that's in your mind so that you can give it up to your higher self. But it doesn't mean that quality is in you. It just means that quality is in your mind. It just means that thought is in your mind. If it's a so-called negative thought, it's not in you. It's in your mind because you are still as God created you. You are still as love created you. You are still as love created you. Still as God created you. You are free and unlimited. You are free and unlimited. You create your own reality through your thoughts and feelings and emotions and your beliefs. So accept that you could be loved in spite of what you think about yourself. Allow yourself to entertain the idea that the answer can come to you even when you think you don't deserve it. Give it to yourself. Allow your beliefs about yourself to be overruled. But remember, you attracted this group to you tonight. You attracted these cool people. And remember, your butt is innocent. And your butt is beautiful. And your butt is perfect. You are not your butt. You are free. 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 Woo! May the force be with you. I love you all. You are incredible. Woo! You can get CDs of the night class if you want. Hey, there's some cool people to say bye to in here.